Good afternoon. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." On behalf of Lindsay Clinton and the extended families of Ron Clinton, thank you for coming this afternoon to show your respect for our dear friend, Ron Clinton. Ron was dearly loved. And by your presence today, you share that common bond of having received love from Ron, as well as having given love. In a few minutes, you will be given an opportunity to share a tribute or a memory of how Ron touched your life. Remember, you are among friends, and our common bond is the love we have shared together with Ron. Would you please join me in prayer? God of grace and mercy, we gather this afternoon to remember Ron Clinton. Thank you for giving him to this family and friends to know and to love as a companion in life. We mourn the loss of a friend, a husband, a brother, a father, a grandpa, a great-grandfather and fellow worker. In your boundless compassion, will you comfort this family and these friends? With tenderness, will you open our eyes to see that in death there is the doorway to eternal life? You have invited those who are weary and overburdened to come to you to find rest. You have asked us to cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. Please grant that both the faith and the courage that we need, that we will accept these invitations of yours and do as you have asked. Lord, who is there in heaven or on earth who compares with you? O God, our flesh and our hearts may fail, but you are the strength of our hearts and our lives forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior, unto thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, thank you.
not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul,
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I, can you hear Ron saying this? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he would have been happy with this choice from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
We would also like to thank you all for coming to celebrate the life of my brother, Ron Clinton. We also thank Pastor Dan and Joyce and all of the church family for your love and encouragement towards Ron. as he lived on campus and attended New Heights. I know he would want to say thank you to each one of you today if he was standing right here. We also thank his caregivers that were caring for him in their care home. They gave him such encouragement, and he had such love from them. He was joyful and he was contented. Today I will read a brief overview of a few things from Ron's life. Then I will share some of my own memories. Ron Clinton, born on June 10, 1938, went to be with Jesus on October 4, 2013. He is survived by Lindsay Clinton, children Tom, Rose, and Melanie, 4 grandchildren, 1 great-grandchild, sister Karen, and 8 cousins. Ron attended Ballard High School in Seattle and went to Everett Community College, majoring in forestry. Ron's early years as a Boy Scout, hiking into the Olympic Mountains, contributed to his many activities into God's glorious creation. Later, as a member of Ski Patrol, Ron was afforded the opportunity to serve injured people on the slopes. And I see some Ski Patrol people here today. Thank you. Also, he often took his family on their sailboat into Puget Sound and north into the San Juans. Being a people person, Ron managed others in the food business. He spent many years encouraging young people at 5 Dick's Drive-In restaurants. Other restaurants he managed were Royal Fork and owned and operated Dewey's. Ron worked in Ulysses Restaurant and interacted with customers in the meat department at Sam's Club. Assisting disabled people to secure jobs with Combella Company, Ron sometimes went on the job site, encouraging the person in training, and this was not required of his job. He did this all on his own. He would stand beside them and teach them. And I remember a story about a man that was blind, and Ron took him to the dark room and trained him to know where everything was. Energetic, Ron later rode his bike to work and readily interacted with those in his community when out walking. My brother had many attributes that I could talk to you about today, but 2 stand out to me, and it's hard to just choose a few. He was an encourager and showed a caring attitude. Ron and I grew up in a close and loving family. When we came home, it was to both parents every day. My folks owned a grocery store before the supermarket started. And we had an apartment and a yard on the west part of the building. We had many activities together. Friday nights, while our family put up stock on the shelves of our store, it was every Friday night we did this together as a family. But every Friday night, Ron made a point of making it fun by dreaming up competitive games of speed just between the two of us. I can still hear the laughter because we were going lickety-split. A few times every month, Ron had a lawn mowing job. He asked me if I wanted to make some money. Of course I did. So he mowed with a hand mower and I clipped. We both thought that was great fun and would see who could be doing the nicest job. I loved the payoff too, especially when I could spend time with my big brother. Once when Ron had a friend over at our house, they were camping out in the backyard in a tent. And I put up my bedroom window and started talking to them. Instead of Ron being irritated with me, he asked if I would like to read some of their comic books. And of course, I said yes. He was diplomatic and included me for a time in the fun. Another job was teaming up to do what we did together was to do the dishes. That was before dishwashers, of course. So Ronigan was not wasting any time getting bored. If I was not washing dishes fast enough for him to dry, he would laugh and he would take the dish towel, as you all know, and wind it up and lick me on the posterior. I would yelp in protest. He would laugh, and he would even get a splash of water tossed on him. That game was ongoing for years, no matter how I put up the protest. We enjoyed the interaction. Now, at age 16, I was about to take my driver's test. Ron asked if I wanted to use his 1956 Thunderbird sports car for the test. I was overjoyed. Now, what brother would entrust his little sister with his prized possession for a driving test? But Ron did. Looking back, I'm just amazed at some of the things. Later, I went to work at Dick's Drive-In, and Ron was my manager. He was my favorite manager because he was fair, happy, gave positive encouragement, and inspired the whole crew to work and do their best. And some of you worked with him at Dick's. Raise your hand if you're one of those people. Yeah, lots of them. I think Carol and I were going over about 12 of our family members and related people worked for Dick's. Now, of course, he, being the manager, came and challenged another malt girl and myself to race to see who could dip the most malts in the hour that we had. It worked. Ron cheered us on every time he walked by our stations. Once again, we loved his positive management skills, and Dick's really benefited from the way he got all of us to work so hard and have fun. I have just a little article written by a man that has something in one of those memory books from Dick's. His name is Mike Haven, and he worked at Dick's from 61 and up into 63, I believe. He said, "Ron Clinton was my supervisor and one fantastic person. My memories are of that key employee who taught me a lot in life. Customer service, organization, food quality. These elements have kept me a customer at Dick's ever since I graduated from college in Bellingham in 66 and returned to Seattle." Because Ron excelled as store manager and was such a people person and really on the ball, I think, he was then promoted to the general manager over all five stores and continued to work with the managers and all the employees also. As we were growing up a little more, Ron was instrumental in encouraging my dad to go back to school after 25 years to complete his engineering degree. Dad had to stop during the Depression when they were married, and he never really got to complete his dream. But Ron and Mom talked to him, and Ron went over to the University of Washington, and he brought home all the paperwork that Dad would need to sign up for the U. Because Dad said, "Well, I just can't leave the store and all this." And Mom said, "Yes, you can. We'll do fine. You take morning classes." And because of Ron's influence and a challenge, Ron really challenged Dad. "If I can go to college, so can you," kind of attitude. So Dad went back to school and completed his degree. And in the last 15 years of his working, he was able to work in a mechanical engineering position, which was his dream. Now, a little bit later, when Wally and I, this is something else that Ron would do. When Wally and I were at the church the night of our wedding, Ron was by Wally's side during the preparations. Wally forgot to bring dark socks. He had on black pants. He had white socks. So what did Ron do? He took off his black socks, and he was in the wedding party. He took off his black socks, gave them to Wally, and he put on Wally's white socks. And, well, you've heard of someone taking the shirt off their back. Well, Ron took the socks off his feet. As an adult, I watched Ron extend himself to help a man who had no home. The man was extremely ill and expected not to live too long. Ron offered him a place to live at the duplex, which he owned and usually rented it out. But Ron checked on the man often and made sure that his needs were met. The man passed away knowing that someone cared about him and showed him kindness and love. Another time, Ron invited a homeless man to Thanksgiving dinner with his family. The whole family extended their love to this man. Later, the man got up and went to the piano, according to what Carol told me, and played for them. He had been a concert pianist, and he showed his gratitude to the family in this way. Later, Ron was able to get this man back into the hospital for some treatment. Now, my final memory I will share with you is when I was teaching school. Several times, Ron and Lindsay, or Ron and Melanie, would show up at my classroom on my birthday, surprising me, and singing, opening the door and singing happy birthday all the way in, and they would bring food for the whole class. Oh, you know how the class handled that. They cheered. No more school. No, for a while. And the last party that I remember that Melanie, I think, was at, Ron prepared a quiz for me at the birthday party. And after he decided to do that, he went to the library and looked up everything in history that happened that he could find on March 2nd, my birthday. He went into the classroom. He handed out all the answers to the kids, not to me. And they could all raise their hand and tell the right answer, and I was stumped. I didn't know one of them. But that was so typical of Ron, because he just enjoyed doing, and that was a lot of work for him to prepare that birthday party. And the students were delighted to answer and know a lot more than their teacher knew, which they do anyway a lot of times. But it was a very creative birthday party. So thank you for all listening to a few of my memories of Ron. I could go on and on, but we better not. Well, thank you.
Hi. I know most of you. I'm Ron's firstborn son. So in case you don't know, I'm Tom. And I'd share similar thoughts, but just maybe a little bit different version of what Karen said, but I'll get to that in a minute. But just wanted to thank everybody for coming to join us in celebrating Dad's life. It's kind of hard for me. Nobody's really prepared to, even though it's inevitable, you know, when the time comes. So, thank you. Thanks all for coming. I'm sure, just from your presence today, Dad has affected you in similar ways from what Karen has iterated. And he really did. He loved to tease people and loved to help people. And I can attest to that, too. He lives on a little bit in all of us, I think, just from what he's taught me, really affected me. So, obviously, I've known him all my life, so that goes without saying. So, I had some very intimate times over the years, and a lot of the similar stories. Dad taught me morals, doing the job right, stick-to-itiveness, and just and the golden rule. Many aren't that fortunate. One of my first jobs was painting. I worked at Dick's, too. I didn't work behind the counter, but He gave me a job when I was quite young, and I got to paint the fence out at the Lake City Dick's Drive-In. And so he took me out every morning and dropped me off there, and I just proceeded to paint, and I forget, I probably didn't get paid much, maybe a dollar an hour, but I got all the hamburgers and all the food I could eat. And it took me all summer to do, so that was just the greatest job. And my dad, you know, he'd tease me and say, we're going broke on this. We could have hired a professional. But he'd still let me finish the job and do it right. So very encouraging. One other thing, that thinking about the lawn mowing thing, this was a little different experience I had, because we too had a push mower at the house, and he'd let me mow it at my own time, but I'd get tired being a young kid, and the handles were way up here. Dad, later, he said, "Oh, I felt bad to make you do this," but he just let the lawnmower just rust out in the yard, and he said, "If you do it more often, it won't be so hard." And he didn't really feel compassionate, and then years later, he said, "I felt kind of bad about that." He thought he was teaching me the right what to do. Many great memories. The skiing with the ski family. And thank you all for coming. If you're part of the ski family. Sparked a tradition that carries on to this day with me, with giving. And just really a good thing that was just instilled in me, something that I still continue to do to this day, not in patrol, but in some kind of involvement with the ski families. So skiing pretty much every weekend all through my childhood and all the way to this day, still do. And then boating, too, every summer. We'd go somewhere. Pretty much all through our childhood, we'd go up all the way up into Canada, and places that I still would like to revisit and share with my kids and grandkids. So intend to do that. One funny thing that I still can't really think what he was trying to teach, but I must have been about 5 years old, and I think it was the time when the Alaskan earthquake was going on, and we felt it here in Seattle. Well, he ran outside, and he tried to stand on his head for a while. I don't know. He said, "Well, I'm going to try to stand on my head while this earthquake is happening." And I don't know. Maybe somebody could enlighten me. But that's typical of Dad and some of the funny things he would do. So, thinking about sailing, one time we dead in the water, no wind or anything, and just being an impatient kid, I'm saying, "Well, when are we going to start this trip?" And he says, "Well, kid, you know, we're doing it. This is it. We're not going anywhere fast. And sometimes the wind just doesn't blow, and you just got to deal with it." So I want to give others the chance to share, but that's some of my fondest memories from my dad. And thank you all for coming.
Okay, I'm also a Dick's employee of Ron, but one of my fondest memories is Ron and Karen and her mom and dad and my mom and dad and my brother. We were at Grandma Grandpa Clinton's house in Paulsboro, Washington. And the men had gone out to cut firewood for the wood-burning stove. So Karen and I decided we're going to go see what they're up to. Do you remember this? Oh, bless you. Okay, I'll explain why you don't remember. We were tromping through the underbrush trying to get to the wood-cutting crew, and all of a sudden I stepped in a hornet's nest. I screamed. My cousin Ron came prancing to my rescue, threw me on his back, and took me up to the porch at Grandma Grandpa's house. And my grandma plastered me with baking soda all over my 12 stings. Now, Karen, you just missed the nest. Do you remember me stepping in the hornet's nest? Okay. But Ron was right there. Bless his heart. He came tromping over to where we were and threw me on his back. And I'm so blessed to have such a wonderful extended family. Thank you.
Craig Doherty from New Heights.
I'm an elder with the church here in New Heights Christian. Met Ron a number of years ago when he was at a low point in his life, and we offered him a place to stay, and we turned him into an indentured servant for quite some time. But I want you to, first, what I really want to start off with is I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close, everybody close your eyes. You're at Dick's Drive-In. You just got a double cheese, a double Dick's Deluxe in your hand, and you opened it up. Can you still smell it? I can. I can smell it right now. For those that you didn't ever have the privilege of having a Dick's Deluxe in your hand, they're still open. You know, I lost my father this year. I know how hard it is. But God's mercy is huge. It's unbelievable that he let two raconteurs like that in at such close proximity. For he is certainly having his ear talked off right now. Your dad was something else. I would come and between every Thursday and Saturday and mow the lawn. And I would drive up and around all the way around on the riding lawnmower. And Ron would be out here working in some of the various projects that Pastor Dan relentlessly gave. He had a long list of to-dos here, and he kept him busy, and Ron would be busy out on the front re-landscaping half of the garden or whatever, and I would be going around, and we'd have a chance to talk and commiserate a little bit. And as each week would pass and each month would pass, staying here, he became that much more vibrant, healthy, alive, alert. Without the outside influences in his life, he had time to turn that inward. He would stop people on the sidewalk as they walked by, and I'm going around and around and around the property mowing it, and he would start talking, and I'd make a loop and they're still talking. I'd make another loop and they're still talking. I'd make another loop and he'd stop someone else and he was talking to them. And he was, seriously, one of the greatest ambassadors for this church in the neighborhood for a long time. I miss him. I miss that bike.
I would like to thank everybody for coming. It was so precious to see all of you. We know that Ron just loved every single solitary one of you, whether he was at church or working on the church or whatever. I do have to explain the bike, because everybody gets a big kick out of that bike, but they don't know how many times I had to throw it in the back of the trunk of my car and trying to get those baskets in and turn the wheel. And then we'd have to get the bungee cords. It was just hysterical, because we both worked at Sam's, so I would sometimes coordinate a shift with, and I would have to bring him home. Well, I was going to ride his home, you know, let him ride the bike home. So there I was, throwing it in the back of the truck and the car. So that bike has both been a blessing and some choice words that I've used every once in a while when I couldn't get the bungee cord around it. So again, thank you guys for coming. Ron just loved every one of you, especially Mark and Moniva, you know, Jim. You guys, Mr. Brumfield, you guys have all been, the men in this church were just an inspiration to him, and you took time to know him and love him. So I want to thank you guys for all that.
Ron really impressed me when he told me that he rode that bicycle up and down Talbot Hill to go to work. I mean, an old man riding a bicycle like that, he's a year older than me. And anyway, I got a lot of respect for Ron. He was very diligent about being on time, conscientious of his work life, and a good friend. I really appreciate it, Ron.
Gail Johnson, New Heights.
We have a choir in this church that sings prior to Christmas, up through Christmas, and then it Easter time again. And my husband, Jim, directs the choir. And Jim one day asked Ron if he'd like to sing in it. Well, boy, were we surprised, or at least I was. Ron had this wonderful double bass voice that just sort of rumbles. Mm-hmm. And so it created this wonderful bottom in our choir. It was really a joy to hear. That's what I remember most about Ron. Mm-hmm.
I'm John Sawyer. I'm married into this family. And really, I owe Ron everything. He gave me my first job at Dick's. And that's where I met my wife. We've been married 48 years, and I've really enjoyed being a part of this family. And I really miss Ron. Thank you.
My name's Carol, and I have known this wonderful, amazing family since Ron was 16 years old and Karen was 12. And so many things that I had jotted down to think about Ron, other people have noticed too, so I know it's not my imagination. He was really fun and really funny, and you're right, he can really sing. And he was in the choir in Ballard High School, took music classes, and actually in his class, Bob Flick was there, one of the brothers four, and they used to sing together. He could have been a brothers four if he'd gone to the University of Washington instead of Everett. He definitely was a people person, and it didn't matter about the age. He used to come over to my house, and I had a one-year-old brother, John, and I used to think that he was coming over to see my brother, not me, because he just really had fun playing with him. And then with their store, he would deliver groceries to the elderly people who shopped at their little store. And he didn't just drop them off. He'd actually go in and chat with the elderly people. And everybody just loved Ron. When my dad became quadriplegic, he went to learn how to lift him and how to carry him. And for the 10 years that my dad was quadriplegic before he passed away, Ron was always there to be able to bring him home for holidays and just to talk. When you're quadriplegic and you're only 56 years old and you're in a nursing home, there's not very many people that are really very interesting to talk. So Ron filled a lot of that void. He was in Scouts. He always had time for the kids and for other people. He built race cars with Tom in Scouts. They'd fly kites and sail, of course, and then skiing was and still is a really big item. These people here that are ski patrollers were there right in the beginning, so they're really long-time ski patrollers. If you've ever skied at Ski Acres, you've had their service, and I'm just really grateful that they would acknowledge Ron like that too, because it was so much a part of his caring in life. One more family. He was always first to volunteer. If anybody needed anything, Ron would just drop everything and help with the roof or whatever. And he always was sure when he did something, he did his best. And he always strove to leave things better when he left. He did a lot of camping, and we cleaned a lot of camping sites. The lawn mowing thing, I think it was one of our only real arguments. You know, when you're as little as Tom was, when Ron was set to teach him how to mow the lawn, you lift up like this. Yeah. And the cutters don't reach, they tip. And I don't know if he even ever noticed that, but I just really thought that was asking an awful lot of a little tiny guy. I didn't know that he still remembered. Yeah. Well, let's see. Ron also had a lot to do with increasing the image other people have of themselves. I don't remember him ever saying anything really ill about anybody. And he was always telling everybody how great they are and how good they looked. And I ended up, and the kids too, ended up having a really good impression of ourselves, really comfortable with ourselves. And it wasn't until years later that I thought, you know, I take it for granted that he knows how wonderful he is. But, you know, I don't know that I ever gave him the support that he gave me. If I had life to do over again, I'd work on that more. He was always a gentleman. He always opened the car door. And you don't see that very often. And I took that for granted, too. He always treated me like a lady to be cared for. And I'm a little bit spoiled. He never complained. He had a lot of pain and a lot of distress. And yet he never complained about where he was and what he was doing. He just found another way to work harder on his situation. I think the thing that I'm most grateful about is that in his life, God was first, and others were second, and Ron was third.
I'm a late comer to the family, but I did get to know the brothers, not personally with one, but the two I did. Tom's grandfather and Kathy's father used to go to a place in eastern Washington, and it's called the Cascade Mountains. And at the head of this is Mount Gardner, my favorite and my grandfather's favorite mountain. And Tom's grandfather and Kathy's father loved to fish. They also loved the mountains and probably what everyone else would say, what God put on this earth. The one thing that I remember about Tommy's grandfather and Ron's dad, he became an engineer at Boeing's, I believe it was. I'm a tool and die maker by trade. You start with an engineer who has an idea, and you work down into the floor of the factory. A lot of those people don't get recognized. Probably Tom didn't even know these things were going on, other than the fact that his dad pushed his dad. Sounds like Tommy's dad pushed him. Tom came to my house here about a week ago and did a very, very small thing that probably not too many people would do, especially if they knew me. I'm a hard-nosed guy. I have children out there that pushed lawnmowers and have done a few other things that I ask them to do. But one thing, Tom, is I know this. You're a good worker, and your dad did a good thing for you. Come to my house anytime.
So I shared this song with Karen about a week and a half ago. The day after Dad passed away, I was in my car on my way somewhere, and this came on, and I think this is a wonderful reminder of the opportunity that we all have to be Christ followers and get to spend time with each other when we go home. Been carrying this heavy case, I gotta lose this weight. Somewhere the light is strong, there I'm gonna lay it down. And I'll rise when my ship comes in, I'll stand up and you'll lead me in. Gonna climb on board, leave these burdens behind. So don't cry when my ship comes in. I'm giving up on packing this case, I can't bring it anyway. Gonna climb on board the Manta Ray. Gonna sail right in to that holy place, where the weak are strong, singing their songs. Angels, sinners, and saints join together as one and lay down their lives for the worthy Lamb. Gonna lay down my life for the worthy Lamb. I sigh when my train arrives, I'll meet you on the other side. My mother, my father, my sisters, my brothers, yeah, we'll be together again. And soon we'll be together. I'll meet you on that day. Forget the past things no words can say or explain the wonder found in this place. Gonna climb aboard that saving train. I'll meet you on that day. I'll guide you and sail you along the way. Through the deepest of oceans, I'll never stray. Gonna float you and fly you, my manta ray. Yeah, I'll meet you on that day, yeah, in that holy place, yeah, I'll meet you on that day, and soon we'll be together in that holy place.
I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. I was privileged to have had Ron Clinton as my friend. prior to the summer of 2005, Ron was just an acquaintance. But after a phone call from his sister Karen, Ron and I were destined to build an enduring friendship, for it was the summer of 2005 that Ron and I became partners in the care and maintenance of the church grounds here at New Heights. Ron spoiled me as a friend. I can't think of a time when I asked Ron to take on an assignment that he put up any stink about it. He always appeared to be game for every project I proposed to him. And over the course of 2 years, I kept the projects coming his way. And even today, 8 years later, the effects of his labor here on our church property are still bearing fruit. Let me see if I can begin to list the jobs he allowed me to supervise him in getting done around here. I need to remove this, at least for you to look out this window, because you probably see the, see those emerald vitae out there? They're probably getting to be 12 feet tall by now, or even taller. You just needed to see those. He prepared the ground for the planting of those trees. He dug the holes for them. I helped him set them into the holes. And he kept them watered the first summer of that planting, and we lost not one of those trees that he planted. And they go all along the east property line from north to south. And along that same property line, he prepared the cement for the 4x4 posts to build a retaining wall away from the property line fence, and prepared the way for laying sod so we would be there would be a pathway between the fence and the growing emerald vitae. It was part of a larger plan that we nearly completed of making what we called a prayer path that circumnavigates the entire church property. And you can go out there this afternoon and walk around the entire property, thanks to Ron. We had hoped to post frequent signs that would suggest topics about which to pray, but that's one unfinished task. In the southeast corner of the property, I was able to supervise his work on building a retaining wall out of large cement garden wall blocks weighing 57 pounds each. And it seems that we bought somewhere between 300 and 400 of those blocks. And I encourage you to go out and take a look at that retaining wall 7 years after being built and express your gratitude for Ron's faithful and hard work. Then I can take you to the west side of the property and the garden of flowers and bushes that we have between the two west entries to the property. Ron did most of the landscaping of that garden. When we needed to close off what used to be a third entrance to the property on the west side, it was Ron who contributed a major portion of the labor of building the retaining wall that you'll notice on the west side of the property and moving the dirt to fill it in along the wall. We had to call in extra help when on December 29th, 2005, we moved the Japanese maple tree about 25 feet to the southwest to its present location. And you can see the girth of the base, and I had them dig out a trench so we could slide that. We didn't push it, we pulled it. It was a proud day when we accomplished that feat together. On July 11th, 2005, I wrote concerning Ron Clinton. I am delighted to report that Ron Clinton continues to be an extremely valuable help to us at New Heights Christian Church. He has earned the title of groundskeeper and has thoroughly impressed the membership by the way he keeps our grounds exceptionally beautiful. We are pleased to have Ron on our campus. He presents himself well to everyone. On October 9th, 2005, I wrote concerning Ron Clinton. As a major part of our work assignment for Ron Clinton, he has very satisfactorily served as our groundskeeper landscaper. That puts him outdoors and often working alongside our west sidewalk, where dozens of neighbors pass by each day. His cordial and outgoing disposition has won him many friends as a result. I am often able to watch from my office window his interaction with passerbys, young children, youth, adults, and any ethnic background. Ron is friendly to all. in February of 2006 when we needed to connect drain tile to the downspouts on the south annex, the house further to the south, and also along the south and west sides of the north annex. Who is it that would do the digging? That's right, hardworking and faithful Ron Clinton. On July 27th, 2006, I wrote concerning Ron Clinton. Ron has been an exemplary resident and caretaker of the New Heights Christian Church since his arrival. He has always displayed a very cooperative attitude, has remained exceptionally teachable to my instructions, and asserts himself appropriately to discover additional ways he can assist with whatever needs to be done around here. But the most thrilling event that I was able to participate with Ron in was his baptism in the waters of Lake Meridian in July of 2006. Upon his confession of faith in Jesus Christ, he publicly testified to having died with Christ by faith, confident that Christ had also raised him up out of the waters of sin and death and given him life eternal in Christ. So with all the contributions that Ron made to our church grounds, for all the labor he expended to make this place look not just good, but great, it may surprise you to hear what was recorded as a summary of a statement Ron made at our February 11th, 2007 church annual meeting. Ron Clinton expressed that he was blessed because he had been here on the property for a long time, and blessed because of the hospitality of working here and getting to know everyone. He said he didn't know if he could repay us for all he had received for paying his debt. Psalm 34, 6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Choir members well remember his deep bass voice. That same voice fit well when he had the part of the gas station attendant in a Christmas Eve play. And then when he got his job at Sam's Club in Renton, he got himself a bicycle so he could ride down to work and back, though he often caught the bus, or when Lindsay started working there, she would give him rides back home. I'll never forget the words of a man from Enumclaw who saw Ron just before he came to live here in 2005, and then saw him again only about 6 months later. And he said, "Whatever that church has you doing, it surely has got you looking really good." But his good looks were only partly attributable to his regular and hard work on the church property. He was fully engaged in the life of this church, with the congregation, and more importantly, with our Lord. I was delighted to meet with him regularly, to study from the Bible with him. Jean Cortier would join us, and we would have, and this will most certainly surprise everyone from New Heights, we would have great Bible studies in the text of the upcoming sermon. Verse 12. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Folks, the journey of faith is most often rigorous. The cultivation of trust in God comes through trials and testings. It is seldom easy. Ron demonstrated that when he kept his eyes on Jesus and his focus on the goal of walking faithfully with his Savior, he would be a conqueror, and a joyful conqueror. Ron would often encourage me, "For the days that he was with us here, were some of the most challenging for me personally. He was my friend in my time of need. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked, the foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. My lasting memories of Ron Clinton will be of what a model servant he was to us as a congregation and to me as his pastor. I felt like I was getting service fit for a king, and I could only attribute that to the transformation that had taken place in his heart, that Ron knew that in serving us, that he was serving his Lord. And so there is little doubt, no, there is no doubt, absolute confidence, that Ron is experiencing his greatest joys right now and for eternity, because he is Christ's servant, serving the King. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants, his servant Ron, will serve him. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.